Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk, the podcast where we dive deep into living with FSHD. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and I'm on the journey with you. Having FSHD, I understand the challenges it brings to patients and their families. We're in this together, and this podcast is a space where we swap stories, share advice, and talk to experts to get the latest news. There's plenty to say about living with FSH muscular dystrophy, so let's get straight to it. Welcome all to another episode of the FSHD Straight Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and thanks for being here today. We have two amazing guests in store talking about one of my favorite things in the world is sports. And sport, in particular, we're going to talk about is crew. Crew is the sport. Rowing is the action, as I was told today from one of our guests that are on. Kate, who is a young athlete, started crew in seventh grade, continued on in eighth grade. She now is stepped away from the sport. But she talks about that journey, and it was all documented with the help of Lexi Pappas, who, as we all know, has FSHD as well, just like Kate does, and is amazing documentarian, and she put it all together for us in a documentary that she's going to share with us, Against the Current, it's called. So amazing episode here as we go into kind of the Boston area, East Coast, talking about row and crew and like that sport of just what is it? What was the position that Kate did? Like, what did she do? How did she do it? What kind of steps were taken to kind of make it accommodating for her? You know, ramps were put in near the boathouse where the boat was kept and this and this. And like the path to get her to be involved, the teammates that she made, the friends she made through the sport, and then where she is now and what she's doing. And it was great to have both of these people on to talk about the creation of the documentary to document the journey that Kate had, and then some of that feedback that they got from the people that witnessed it. So great, great takeaways within this episode. And I kind of had this like analogy as I was listening to the story. I watched the documentary myself, and as we were talking and having a conversation about this with them, it's like one of the top things I thought to myself was, you know, it is amazing to me that in this world where people kind of look differently on those with disability, in this particular sport, Kate chose, she was the person in the boat that led those with those that were able-bodied. She with a disability was the leader, really, right? Is leading this group and motivating them with her voice and had a very important part, a much needed part within this sport. So it was just an amazing point of view that kind of came to my mind as I was listening to her journey and just her describe it. So if you want to get in touch with me, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org is the email address. You can always share the episodes with everybody out there in the world. We're on Spotify and Google Podcasts and so forth. Make sure that you follow the show. Please send it out to as many of those that would enjoy it as possible. Not even necessarily those in the FSHD community. I think a story like today, a documentary we're going to talk about today, can affect a lot of other people that are either able-bodied or don't have FSHD, or maybe it's whatever their something is that they're coping with. This episode, and I think others, can help them cope with that. That really is my point of helping produce or create these interviews, podcasts, etc. Could not be done without Ann and Aaron at the FSHD Society and the support of the FSHD Society, of course. But our hard work talking to these people as they share their hard work and their accomplishments of their life has been amazing. And I think this is going to be another one of those episodes where you're gonna feel the same way. And I'd love to hear your story, a topic you'd love for us to cover. But let's get on with this interview here with Lexi and Kate. Did you know that there are more than 30 FSHD chapters across the United States and Canada, led by local volunteers who want to create connection among our FSHD community members? The FSHD Society chapter program allows you to connect with others who understand FSHD and provide you with valuable resources and information. Whether you are a person living with FSHD or supporting a loved one who is, our chapters offer a caring community to face FSHD together. They give you a place to learn, share experiences, and raise your voice to make a difference in improving care, advancing research, and accelerate the development of treatments for everyone affected by FSHD. Find your local community today. Visit fshdsociety.org/local-chapter to locate and connect with a chapter nearest you, or learn more about starting a chapter in your area. We are here so that no one faces FSHD alone. So as promised, we have a dual guest today talking about an amazing documentary about someone's quest to be on the crew team in their school. We're going to talk about that journey, but let's right now introduce Lexi and Kate. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Hi.
So I know, Lexi, you've been on this before. I think when it was called a different platform at the time. Kate, I want to say you were on this at one point, but I think you were smaller.
I was very young, and yeah. We did it in the car
was
at my friend's
car? House. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was in my car. Yeah.
Wow. Do you know about how many years ago that was?
I don't, Matt. Eight.
Wow. Okay.
So I'd say, or some time like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
around
that
age?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Do remember that. Yeah. Okay. Well, you've grown up. That's great. And you've done some amazing things already. And we want to talk about some of those amazing things. So this is about, I mean, those that don't know a little bit about each one of you, maybe we kind of go around here and just kind of introduce yourself officially. Who wants to start? Lexi, do you want to start, or is that cool?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So my name's Lexi. I have FSHD. I am 32 now, and I was diagnosed around like 13. So I've been living with it for a bit now. It's in my family. My mom has it, my uncle, my grandpa. I like to make films, kind of like my documentary films. I made one about my family with FSHD, and I've just been kind of searching for other types of documentaries or videos to make over the years. So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah. And that's kind of where your art is, right? I think we're going to talk about that a little bit today, not just your art. I know Kate's moved into that world as well as she's getting older. And Kate, how about a little bit about yourself?
I'm Kate. I'm 15, and I was diagnosed when I was 6 with FSHD. And nobody in my family has it. So we kind of didn't really know what to do with it. And we didn't really know what it was going to look like. So we figure it out as we go.
That's a good way to go with it. Yeah. Yeah. That must have been tough news, though.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I was 6. I wasn't really conscious at the time. Mm-hmm. So I don't really. But my mom was very confused and didn't really know what to do. So.
And now, a little bit older years under your belt with the disease. How has it been going? I mean, it's not easy road.
It's not easy good. Road. I mean, like, I feel like still having years under my belt, as you said, still doesn't make that much of a difference because it changes so quickly.
Right.
And so it's just something new every time. And you're just like, oh, okay, I have to deal with this now on top of all the other stuff that I've been dealing with. Okay,
right.
Great.
Right. Yeah. Another stone on the pile, as I kind of say sometimes. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot to manage when you're a young person, in my opinion. Like, this is definitely a subject we didn't touch enough on. I'm guilty of that. Like, I'm bringing it to the forefront in earlier episodes when we first started the podcast. It's like, man, this was like a whole realm of conversation we really should have dove into sooner. So I'm really glad that you're here to kind of talk about it, bring it to the forefront again in another episode, that early onset. And since you both were diagnosed pretty younger ages, definitely than me and a lot of other people that have this disease, I think it just has to be more known that this is very impactful to young people, more than when, like me, I was 40. I mean, I knew something was up, but not to that degree. So it's, I think, courageous that you're on here to share, both of you, and especially Kate too. But so Kate, we're really here talking too about, like, you had this quest. That's the word I'm choosing. Maybe not your word, to kind of be on the crew team at the time you were in 7th grade. So a couple years back, tell us what, like, that journey, like, what sparked that? And those that don't know, what is crew?
Crew
you know,
is
people out there.
Good question.
Yes. Yeah. Crew is rowing. So don't ever call it rowing, because rowing is the action that you do, and crew is the sport, as my coach would always say.
Nice.
So crew is rowing. And Before 7th grade, I could not tell you what crew was. If somebody asked me what crew was, I would have no clue. I kind of wanted to, well, I first originally wanted to join it because my friend who went to my old school, because we were both transferring to a new school, she was going to be on the crew team because her older sister was also on the crew team. And she told me what it was, and she was like, "Oh yeah, you could totally do this because you just have to sit at the back of the boat and scream at everyone." I was like, "Oh, that's so fun. Yes." And
Okay.
so I did it.
Huh. So that was your
Because,
role on the team. You were in the
yeah.
back. And what are you screaming? Is I'm assuming it's not foul language or something like that. It's probably like encouragement or like
Just
is it direction? Like put us in the scene.
encouragement, motivation, directions, threats, anything,
Rap.
gibberish,
Okay.
literally everything.
Everything. Everything and anything. And then what's your viewpoint? Is everybody in the boat with you facing you or are they facing away?
Yeah. Well, it depends on the kind of boat that you're
Okay.
in. Because there's also different sizes of boats. Usually teams will race where there's eight rowers and one coxswain, which is my role. And sometimes there's like a four where there's four rowers and one coxswain, and you can either be in the back or the front, and then anything smaller than that, there's usually not a coxswain or whatever. So I can be at the front and they're all behind me facing away from me, or I can be at the
Okay.
back and they're all staring at me, which is kind
Wow.
of good, but also bad, kind of awkward, but it's fine.
So then it sounds like then you'd rather be the other side of the boat then? They're not facing
Well,
you?
yeah, but that's not as comfortable because you're kind of like just like lying down on the inside of the uncomfy
Oh.
boat.
Yeah.
You get a little seat in the back so you can actually see where you're going, but I don't
Okay.
know.
Huh.
It's fun, I promise.
Yeah. So, and then Lexi, where did you come in with the documentary about this? You like how did you get wind of it? Like how did the idea come? I know you say that you like to do documentaries or have with your family with FSHD. It's a good subject matter. Obviously, it's close to you having it and the family has it. So documenting it makes really good sense, of course. But when you started this idea of creating against the current, like where did that start?
Well, I was with, so I know Kate's mom. Well, I know Kate obviously very well, and I know Kate's mom, Kristen, really well. Because when Kate was first diagnosed, Kristen and I connected, about FSHD. So I've been talking to her for years. We've gone to like the FSHD volunteer events and stuff. I think we were on our way back from one, and she was just telling me how Kate was doing crew, and how like amazing her coaches were, and how they just were like, yeah, like come on the crew team, we'll figure it out. And I just thought it was really cool that her coaches were able to do that, how the team was able to just like bring her on, how she was able to do a sport, because I know growing up when I was in high school, I was able to do sports up until a certain point, and then I had to quit a lot of them. I couldn't do them anymore. And it sucks as a kid, like not being able to do the sports that you want. And you kind of feel left out a lot of times because you can't do them. So to be able to be a part of it as someone with a disability, I think is, I thought it was a really cool story that like people need to know about. And it's a good message too, about how we can have anyone with a disability on a team. We can make it work. In the documentary, I got someone who started Adaptive Sports New England, which is an adaptive sports company in here. He talks about all the different sports that they have with kids with disabilities, whether they're blind or they have physical limitations. And so it's important for people to know that it's out there and that it's possible. And I just thought it'd be a cool story. And Kate's also an awesome person. She's funny. She's
Yeah.
great at speaking. And so I thought her and
Glad you think so.
her family.
'Cause otherwise that'd be kind of awkward.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
would be. Yeah, if you weren't good at speaking, or it sounds like even motivating people, coxswain, is it the term that you use in the position that you had? Yeah. I don't think
Yeah.
that would have worked
Well,
well.
originally it was really hard though because I didn't really know what to say. But eventually I learned that you can just say literally nothing, just nonsense, because they're not really listening to you. They're just kind of trying to get distractions. So if you, like, for example, my coaches will probably yell at me if they hear this, but I will just start saying random stories and I'll ask like what they remember and they'll no clue. I
Do you
mean,
think
like
that
sometimes I'll interrupt my story with just like Yo, make sure your backs are straight. No shrimp posture, please. But it's just like, but you're also like aggressive with it. Like I'm just kind of
Yeah.
screaming.
Yeah. So you're making, so there's a motivational tone. Obviously, you're kind of coaching him a little bit then. You talked about posture being in that right position because of your viewpoint, you're telling them maybe what they need.
Yeah. But it's also like very negative. I feel like
Yeah.
it's kind of toxic because I'm literally screaming. Like it's not like a okay guys, let's go to the finish line. My voice
Yeah.
drops an octave. I am screaming. Like this
Wow.
is not a joke.
Yeah. Well, I've heard people do that a lot when they coach or motivate people, right? The tone changes. You can't be all moonbeams and, you know, rainbows and unicorns flying around. Sometimes you have to get to the point and sometimes you have to use that tone. I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that. Lexi, when you were doing the documentary, when I watched it, I know there was definitely parts about just what it took to put the boat in the water or make it more accessible. And I thought that was fascinating because I assume it wasn't set up to be accessible to people that needed to be accessible to, right? I mean, they thought, oh, people are just going to carry the boat and they're going to walk over to the water, throw the boat in, we're off, and here you go. So tell us a little about like maybe some of the things you witnessed of like how it changed the sport for that school a little bit.
So well, when I was, when I first went to the boathouse when saw Kate, she was there wasn't ways to really maneuver around the area, it's in the woods kind of. You're on the river. It reminded me of when I used to do sailing in high school and like something I had to, stop doing as well because it became difficult for me. But it's just like the environment isn't really conducive to people with disabilities. And so I know that like Kate, her parents helped build a ramp to like make it more accessible for her. And also it ended up helping everyone else in the team. Kate talks a little bit about that in the documentary. It's a just an interesting perspective. I don't know if people would have thought about doing that, or maybe they just no one had the motivation. But like when you have a reason to do it and you have a you want to be able to get on the dock, like you're gonna put the work in to do it. So, Kate's parents did that, and that was pretty awesome. I think it's tough, like the city of Boston, which is where this all takes place. There are some things maybe they could do better, helping to make things better for the team. There's mud everywhere, it's not like smooth paths. I think it's just like something that cities and like businesses around anywhere in the world, like the country could do to make things more accessible, but people don't always think that they don't really
Yeah.
care to put in the effort.
Yeah. You think that has something to do with because it's maybe an older city? Is that part of the
In
problem?
this case, I don't think so. I mean,
No.
in other cases around the city, probably, like,
Yeah.
things grandfathered in. It's tough. Like, Boston's not the most accessible city in the country because it's
Right.
older. So it's
Right.
tough for, people.
I mean, no excuses. Change has to happen, right? Or everybody's
Yeah, well, they say,
kind
it's
of stuck.
grandfathered in, it's history.
Right.
It's tough.
Right. Yeah.
Not a great
No.
city for people with disabilities, honestly.
No. But it is definitely a good area to do this sport, you know, like
Oh, yeah.
in my
Right on the
area, like,
water. Yeah.
yeah, I think maybe there's a crew team because we have the Milwaukee River in our area. Okay, I guess that's possible, but not nearly as traditional. Like this is kind of a is in this area is this kind of a traditional sport because you must compete against other schools, right? So like was there a lot of other schools involved in crew?
Ish. I
Yeah.
mean, well, because we're on the Charles River and head of the Charles is a global race.
Yeah.
Very, very special. We get like Olympic teams here. And it's funny because we're also competing with like the very, very good rowers from like Italy or wherever. And we're just like, okay.
Wow. Wow.
We never
That's
win,
impressive.
obviously, but
But you
yeah, I mean, Head of
compete.
the Charles
Yeah.
is a really big race, and like people come
Yeah.
from all over to watch it, and that's a big it's a big rowing a crew race.
Yeah, it's very, very big because the Charles River is actually one of the hardest rivers to row, like
Oh,
in the world,
I didn't know that.
because it's really narrow and it just like zigzags all over the place. It's actually very difficult.
Wow. You're definitely getting some
Especially.
crew knowledge on me here because, yeah, I'm totally new to the concept of this sport. It does sound like it's a full out like team effort though. I mean, if someone's
Yeah,
not like at rowing in rhythm, I would assume it's like this is not going to work.
well, a lot of people, when they ask me what I do, they're like, oh, do you just yell row, row, row to keep them time? I'm like, no, they can watch the person in front of them. Thank you very much. That's not my issue. But if they are, I will definitely yell at them about it. You will see that in like a lot of the newer recruits because they don't know how to do it yet. But
And so are you still involved with crew now, Kate, or have you moved past or on or beyond that now? Or something else?
I still have friends on the crew team. And I could still teach somebody how to row. So
The skill is still
I
with
still
you.
have my knowledge
Yeah.
a little bit.
Now, what kind of, tell me, like, I'm big on a lot of learning. Like, I don't even like the word practice. Like, when I teach kids baseball and other sports, so I always use the term training. Like, you don't go practice your new job, you train it. So, try to train new skills and so on. So, when you're at a training session, you know, when you were then doing crew work, like, walk us through, like, what's that typical day like for you?
So crew is the whole year. So we do it in the winter and in the spring and in the fall. And we also have like over the summer, we have like a week long thingy where you come and it's mandatory practice over spring break and suggested practice, or there's like a day we do a little trip to Tennessee in
Holy
the
cow.
fall break or February break.
Dang.
So it's a very big thing. So it's kind of different over like the course of the year. Because in the winter, obviously the Charles freezes over. We can't really get a boat on there. So we're in the gym on rowing machines.
Really?
Yes.
So you're doing your winter
And
training inside, getting ready to go outside when you can. Yeah. So how
yep.
soon are you putting the boat in? I mean, is it like you're
They're
breaking
already
the
in.
ice good enough?
They usually go March-ish, April-ish, depending on when all the ice is gone, because we can't really be going out on ice because we're in a tiny boat. Those boats are really skinny. We would capsize,
That's not
just
good in
flip
the cold.
over.
Yeah, that's not good. That and that has to be asked. Did it ever tip over the
I've
boat?
never been in a boat where it's tipped over, but
Maybe that says
one of
something.
my fellow coxswains who I trained with did. And it's funny because he was in the boat right behind me and he just disappeared. I was like, okay, not my problem.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, that's got to be said something about the position that you held, that you kept the boat afloat. I mean, that's probably key, I would imagine.
Yes. I
That's
mean,
wild.
I never really asked him how he managed to get the boat to tip over because the boat is really skinny itself, but the oars, they go out really far. So I don't really know how that would work because I've never seen that happen before.
Is that person still the coxswain of that vessel, or did they get removed after the tip over?
He was still on the team afterward.
Okay.
I mean,
Good for
it's
him.
not, he didn't really, he didn't get kicked out. Also, we were having member issues with the team, but even if that, he wouldn't get kicked off.
So as the launch happened with the documentary, Lexi, like in March, I think you said, like the 26th, it was kind of released. Have you gotten any, feedback from people that have seen it, or any interactions from the community, like, feedback, like any positive and so forth?
Well, we had a big like premiere event, which was really cool. With the help of, Kate's mom, Kristen, and Adaptive Sports New England and the rowing team, we all kind of put it together at like a cool theater in Boston. There was like a good amount of people, like over, I don't know, it was I think around 100
Holy
something,
cow.
150 maybe.
Yeah.
And it
Big deal.
was great. Like in the moment, when we were there, everyone really liked the documentary. They I think people honestly did come away with it learning something, We talked a lot about after the documentary, there was like a Q&A, and we talked a lot about how, if you know someone with a disability, like get them interested in, if they're interested in sports, tell them, show them this documentary, like tell them that this is an option, see if their school would want to help. Also, like, we want to educate schools, like this is possible. The school that Kate goes to is a really good school, public school in Boston. They do a great job. So, but any school could do it. They just had the people who were willing to put in the extra effort. As a disabled person, I think we can all see that around us. People don't always want to put in the effort to like put in a ramp or to put in, an elevator or whatever. So like when someone does put in the effort, it's pretty awesome. But in that moment at that premiere, we had a lot of great feedback. Also, I think Kate might be on the news pretty soon. I'm
Oh, really?
talking about it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So talking about her.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
You're in high demand. I see. Okay.
And
Rightfully so.
I think we're just going to continue to like spread the message, about showing that it's possible and showing that more people should get involved, and also just showing what it's like to live with FSHD too, and that as a person with FSHD, we can do something like this.
Yeah, you're kind of hitting on a lot of touch points. It's not, it's those that want to participate in some type of activity, sport, etc. They feel like there's probably like a lot of walls, right? A lot of things that overcome, and then if there's more resistance from the people they have to work through to make it happen, person can only take so much. Like, okay, you have to, it's not going to be easy, but you don't want it to be impossible. So it's like if the door can just open a little bit with help from others, I think you're kind of shining a light on that. You're shining a light on a sport that I know, I mean, I knew of it, but I didn't know the full capacity of like, oh, wow, you're right. Like someone with FSHD, you could sit in this boat and they could, as Kate put it, yell at people to motivate them, to keep them on course, and there's a lot of symbolic things going on there. You have someone with a disability leading others that don't, in a sport like that. To me, that's like what I saw was like, that's kind of wild. Like, you tell me how many other sports that happens, right?
Right.
Not too many, if
It's
any.
unique, yeah.
Yeah, it's very unique. It's very
It
unique
is a
in
really
itself.
unique story, sport for sure.
For sure. Yeah, I thought it was awesome. And what was the most difficult part of filming it? Was there any tough spots, like something you were trying to capture or difficulties?
I think it was hard. I was kind of upset that and myself for not getting it was like Kate, honestly, like kind of in action. I mean, we have her, doing it and you can see her, but like I was like, why weren't we able to hear her? Like I wish we got that. So it was hard, honestly, being on the water. Like also I wasn't trying to like interrupt her practice. Like her coaches took it seriously, obviously. Like so I couldn't like I felt bad, trying to like impose and like I was just kind of trying to film around them, instead of trying to force myself
Oh,
in.
sure.
I remember specifically that I hardly said anything important during that practice, so you wouldn't really have gotten that much like important stuff. The most I was saying was just like one, two, one, two. Like for them to just like change how they were doing it. I wasn't really saying anything important because we were doing drills for like half the practice anyway. So It's hard. I couldn't go to like every one of
Yeah.
the practices or
Right.
anything. So that's tough. You have a short window. I also, it's just I started the documentary kind of late in her season too. So there's all the moving parts. I lost my drone in the Charles River.
Well,
So
that's a difficult thing.
yeah, I had to buy a new drone in the middle
Oh,
of
man.
it.
Sheepers.
That was fun.
Oh, my gosh. Now, within the school, though, itself, beyond the crew team, Kate, how has that been attending school, having FSHD?
School's great.
Are you saying that just because they're watching, or you? No one's
Hi, Mr. Gallagher. So basically, it's good. I mean, there's elevators. They work
That's good. That's huge.
mostly.
Yeah.
And
And
Kate talks about it in the documentary too, a lot about, her school experience too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's a lot of kids, so I have to leave class early because there's like almost 3,000 of us
Holy cow. That's huge. That's a
in a
lot of
tiny
kids.
building.
Yeah. That's a lot of kids. And the feedback I got, at least from the administration, people involved within the school, seen within at least within the interviews, was very positive. Like, they were excited to have Kate there. They were excited to make things work so she was welcomed there as a student. Is that the impression that you felt like throughout, especially towards Lexi, was more of a, hey, I'm filming this, so I'm kind of getting the interviews, I'm kind of getting the vibe, the energy of the school being there. You know, is that all also the impression you got from the student body?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Kate talks a little bit about it in the documentary, and she mentions, like, you know, at first it seemed like it was pretty hard, obviously, to have everyone like understand what you're dealing with. But you know, it did seem like her principal was in it, and he seems like a pretty awesome guy. Like the fact that he cares, seems to care a lot about the students and care a lot about Kate. And so I think the staff and everything, like, they were really great, it seemed like, about, you know, bringing Kate in and trying to make it all work. I think with kids, it's always hard, but it seems like a lot of them are very supportive. Like when I was at her practices and everything, they seemed like great, you know, and they seemed like they were welcoming Kate in and everything. So,
Yeah, it's just like if they're not like openly welcoming me, they just kind of mind their own business. No one's like rude or whatever, but also like nobody like asks me anything. This is why I always say having a disability is way worse with adults and like older, like conscious teenagers than children, because children will just come up to you and be like, "Yo, what's wrong with you?" And I will say, "Oh, I have blah blah blah," and they'll be like, "Oh, cool," and they'll just ignore you for the rest of the day.
Okay.
But
So is
like,
that what you'd rather have? That like
yes,
interaction?
because
You would.
adults
Okay.
and teenagers just stare at you. They
Yeah.
don't bother to get to know you or
Mm.
like figure out who you are as a person. They're just like
That.
staring you down.
Yeah, like I haven't seen that before. What's that?
Yeah. Like, oh, cool, whatever.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, kids are more like curiosity driven, and then when their curiosity is
Yeah.
met, it's like, all right, I gotta go. You know,
But
you
it's
just gotta
also like I
run.
feel bad when a kid is staring at me and I can tell that they want to come talk to me or look at me closer, and the parents are just like shoving them aside. I'm like, no, hold on,
So
talk to me.
then that is a that's a perfect spot there then to ask if from your viewpoint then what should the parent do? Like what advice would you give a parent, Kate, to be like, here's their young child watching you move in life. Here, you know, they're very curious, like what's going on here? Well, this person looks a little different than me. Why is that? Da, 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 da. Whatever they're thinking. What advice would you give a parent?
I mean, I really can't speak for anybody else with a disability, but me personally,
Yeah, you
I'd much
personally.
rather be asked about my disability than be like stared at or just wondered about in private, because like I don't really want to be just like a thing in a museum that everybody's looking at. I want to be something that people are actually like interested in knowing about, especially because that's how people get to know me as a person, so that I can like potentially like actually talk with people. Because I feel like when people are just, especially with making friends at a new school, people who are just hesitant to talk to me or get to know me or whatever, and then I had issues making friends. Which is why now I have a lot of friends, because one of my friends who I'd known from before was super outgoing and made an entire friend group and dragged me into it. So now I have a bunch of friends. But otherwise, I don't think I could have made that many friends if I didn't have like my prior friends there.
Yeah, to kind of put you in, so to speak,
Because
right?
people are hesitant to talk to and about things that they don't, that they aren't like
That they don't
aware of.
understand, right? Yeah, they
Yeah.
don't understand it. They just stay away from it for the most part. That's what it seems like.
A
I mean,
human nature, I guess, but also come talk to me, please. I want to answer your questions.
Would you ever do that then as you're, you know, working through your school journey, like see yourself being more of a public speaker, telling people about yourself, taking
I mean,
questions?
I always answer a question if it comes up. I mean, how I answer it kind of depends on who I'm talking to. Because, like, to a kid, I'd obviously explain it very differently from the guy who's across from me in biology. Like, it's different.
Especially if you see someone every day almost, right? If they're in your same province
Yeah.
every day, right? That I can see. It just that seems like you have no problem expressing yourself or saying,
Yeah,
you know,
I
here's
want
what I
people to
have. Here we
know
go.
about me. I want
Yeah.
I want awareness. Please ask me questions.
Now, Lexi, you were that age once, dealing with similar things. Is that kind of similar advice you would maybe would give? I mean, speaking now to someone that's a little farther down the road, and is but has lived it just differently, maybe a little bit, just because of the perspectives. But like, would that be similar to what you would want even now? Someone just ask you?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Kay. Like, I don't like when people just stare because I definitely get a lot of stares because, like, the way I walk is, very different than an average person. So I definitely get a lot of people staring at me, and I don't like being stared at. So I totally agree with that. I mean, sometimes I'd rather just be ignored. Like, don't even look at me. Like, just I'm a normal person. Like, don't look at me. Just ignore me. Like, I guess, yeah. And Kate's right. Like, she was like, I can't speak for everyone because not everyone wants that same treatment, but I mean, I'm also like an open book as well. Like, I'll just, if someone asks me a question, I'll answer it and I'll talk about it. But yeah, being out in public, it's just a weird thing. You never really know like what you want to. It's like, are you in a bad mood? Then you have someone say something and then you get in a worse mood, More so people don't ask me questions. They kind of just assume like something weird about me. Like, oh, are you pregnant? Or like, so I don't really get the good questions. Like, hey, what's with that?
Yes. Well, because before I became non-ambulatory, I also had a similar walk that Lexi has where my belly would stick out and people would be like, what's under your shirt?
Oh my.
Like,
Yeah.
no, I'm
Yeah, like most
sorry.
questions aren't great.
Yeah, that's a little
Yeah.
odd. That's an
If they
odd
come from like
question.
a good place, then it's good. But when they ask like weird questions, it's like, I don't want
I
that.
know. Just be like, hey,
There's
what's
part of me
up?
that's like
Like,
that.
what's going on with you is way better than what's under your shirt. I
The
feel
only
like,
thing, I mean, that's like being just kind of mean, or at least they're trying to get to that point of being mean by asking you that introductory question of odd, and then like, what kind of question is that? Like, where do you think this is going to lead? It's like,
I feel like how I take the conversation will entirely depend on the question you ask, because if it's just like genuine, I can tell that you're genuinely curious, I'll be like, oh yeah, sure. But if they're asking weird questions, then I can tell that they won't really care.
So then, like, Lexi, even then, from the creating documentary point of view, you are obviously drawing attention to yourself by filming things, right? Documenting things, if it's drones, cameras, et cetera. Do you ever get people like from the outside looking in to what's happening, ask, what are you doing, or what are you filming about, or has that not happened?
There was some people, like when I was filming for Kate's documentary, like some people did ask me and they thought it was like really cool, cool. But I mean, I wasn't, I mean, I didn't get like a ton of people, but there was definitely people who were curious about what we were doing and were interested when I told them.
And that's always why what I had a this is a long time ago, and my kid was like, he's 17 now, he was like 10 then, so 7 years ago. There was a parent of another child on the team that worked for PBS, Public Broadcast, network in our area. He was an editor, and he said, I think we want to do a piece on you coaching with FSHD. And I thought that was odd. I was like, why? Well, I mean, I'm sure it's a struggle. He tried to like show me how this is, you can probably relate to this, Lexi, like what the vision was of like, we could turn this into something I think people would want to know about. Okay. And I did go for it, and it was a small piece. Like, it was literally like a 10-minute section on like a 30-minute show, that kind of thing. And it was cool, but it did feel awkward at the time. I'm sure Kate can relate when the cameras are on you and you're like, okay, should I act different, or should I act like I'm really struggling? You know what I mean? Like
That's so
let's
true.
act like I'm really struggling at this. So it was a little bit awkward. It's out there in the World Wide Web to view, those that really want to. But I get it. Like, but I felt and I don't want to be the center either. Kate, did you feel that way? Like, did you feel awkward being the center of the attention of the documentary at all?
I hate to kind of say this, but I mean, I've been doing this for a while, so I feel like I kind of got used to it. And also, we have mandatory public speaking practice at
Oh,
school.
so then
So,
it's all It's all easier then for you
It's
as
a
well.
lot scarier at school
Yeah.
than it is doing this or anything else.
I suppose. Yeah.
I'm super relaxed right now,
Well,
but
yeah.
when I'm in front of the class in my suit on,
Yeah.
talking about random stuff that I had to memorize the night before, it's just a lot scarier.
Yeah, no, that I get. Yeah, because talking about yourself or things that are important to your life are always easier, right? I mean, you have to talk about something else. It's going to be awkward or more for grade-driven reasons, right? This is, there's something where I think when you made the documentary, Lexi, I think it is going to be impactful beyond just learning about crew, learning about Kate. Like it's also encompassing of how do we get people more involved in things?
Yeah.
Is that like your hope for what kind of maybe get some momentum within this documentary being released now?
Yeah,
And
I mean, I want people to see that it's possible, that the that things like this are possible. I also, when you were talking to about being filmed and everything, and I've for a while now I've made like videos and like a documentary and all that, and like I've done like TikToks and stuff, and I've just noticed, like the more I put myself out there, the better I feel about myself. And then, because I kind of am normalizing it. And then also, when people see the documentary or my TikToks or whatever, like they comment and they're like, oh, I feel less alone. Or people learn about FSHD and they kind of, I think the more we like put it out there, the more people are going to get used to it and the more people are
For
going to like
sure.
understand it. It's just like if you see more ads of people with disabilities, for like Target or something, it's gonna, if I grew up with seeing those, it would probably make me feel better about having a disability. But, like I feel like growing up, you don't see someone like you on ads all the time. So it's
Totally
cool
agree.
that it's happening more now. And I think it's just important to like show that people with disabilities kind of put ourselves out there more. I know it's hard because like we're not always comfortable in our skin and whatever, but
Yeah, true.
It's important for others, and it sucks that it's like our job to do it, but it
Yeah,
kind of
you have enough to
unfortunately
do.
like has to be, I guess.
Right. But I totally agree with that. The more you put it out there, or kind of, I would use the term like hit people between the eyes a little bit with it. I was watching a practice at my facility, and I just was sitting on a stool, and I was watching some kids hit, and a parent walked over to me. It's kind of an open concept space, so you can see what's going on. The parents are welcome to stay. And he walked right over to me, and he knew my name because, well, I kind of run the organization, but I don't know everybody's name. I can't. That's impossible. So he says, "Tim, I couldn't help but notice you have an ankle brace on." So I have drop foot on the left foot, right, and I have a little like apparatus thing that kind of helps the like shoe lift up and stuff. And I'm like, "Oh yeah." And he's like, "Oh, did you like roll your ankle?" I'm like, "No, I got FSHD." What? I go, "Oh, it's a form of muscular dystrophy." I said, "So it's affecting my foot." I just really got like, shoot, like this is what I'm giving you, buddy. Like right here. I'm just gonna tell you.
Yeah,
This is
just tell them
muscular dystrophy.
directly.
This is what it is. I wanted to like when those moments happen, I almost want to like kill the awkwardness by making it feel normal. Like, well, this is just what it is. Like, what do you mean? You haven't heard of this? Almost that kind of tone in a way, like, well, it's muscular dystrophy. You know, like everybody's got their something, right? So, and
Just
lo and
normalizing.
behold, almost every time they ask more questions that they're trying to get themselves educated in like a short 2 minute conversation. What is that? Is that MS? Is that this? What's that like? Oh, okay. Oh, then I get their attention with it, give them my quick spiel, and that's that. But I feel like for me, like you guys were saying, it's not for everybody, right? Some people want to address it, some people don't, some people have their way to do it. But for me, it's like just hit him with it. And then that usually kind of cuts all the weirdness. And then, of course, I usually get the sympathetic. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, that's okay. It's how it is. I'm like, I just blame my parents. No, of course I don't. But the
Real.
point is, it's like, you know, but you do like a little bit of brutal, you know, punches of like truth once in a while. It's like, okay, kind of let's like cut through that, and like let's get to just we're just humans dealing with our stuff, you know. And I really feel like more documentaries that are out there that you're creating, Lexi, the more that you do that. You mentioned TikTok, those things, and social media. The more it's going to become in our regular digestion of, you know, content, and this isn't weird or odd or what is that? It just becomes, oh, I know what that is, and then that's what that person has, and I think it's admirable to carry that torch, as like you put it. But we have to do it, and I'm sure that's not always easy to do. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not always easy, but I think it's someday it'll be more normalized.
I agree. It just takes time. It takes a long time. Probably like turning a boat on crew, right, Kate, to turn it at all. I'm sure it takes a little bit of effort, right?
Yes, I have to turn it like 30 seconds before I actually need to turn.
Have to have vision, as they call it.
Yeah.
Nice. So a couple of final questions. One being for more lexic, if people want to find where this is at, where the documentary Against the Current is, where can they find that?
So it's on YouTube. If you search my name, Lexi Pappas, you can search Lexi Pappas FSHD and my channel will come up with some of my videos, and then it's on my channel. It's Against the Current, Kate's Fight for Inclusion, full documentary. That's the title of it. And yeah, it's on YouTube right now. I mean, I don't know if I have other plans for like where else it would be, but I think that's just where it's going.
Netflix.
Perfect spot for it. You never
I
know.
wish. Yeah,
You never
Netflix, buy
know.
it.
Yeah. Well, I plugged away.
Yeah,
I
Netflix,
wish I knew somebody. I don't. No, that's
come
cool
on.
though. That's a good idea, Kate. I like your vision of that. And then for both of you, I guess this question, what's next for you? What's the next thing? Kate, if it's are you gonna come out of retirement from crew, and are you gonna do that, or what are you currently doing that's really sparking your interest?
Art, I guess,
Yeah. What kind of
kind
art?
of more chill, drawing,
Nice.
sketching, all things.
Beautiful.
I play around.
That's the joy of art. Yeah.
Explore. I gotta find out what I want to do first. I gotta figure out what part of art is more fun than the other parts to me personally.
Excellent. And then Lexi, is there another documentary on the horizon?
Well, my husband and I are actually making a documentary, but on a different topic, not about a disability or anything. So I think we're just always, I mean, it's my work. It's what I do for work, and then it's also what I do for fun. So hopefully I don't burn out someday, but I do enjoy making videos. I want to continue to make, social media videos, but sometimes I'm not always motivated, so it's a little hard, but
Yeah, I get it, right? I mean, you know what that takes, probably the project and how long it and the effort. And seeing that from the beginning, it's always fun when it's over, I'd imagine, seeing how it's all come together. But the journey can be difficult, I can only imagine. Yeah. I am totally spoiled by having awesome guests like people like yourselves that I don't have to do a lot of hard, heavy lifting here. This is mostly you guys are doing the hard work. And I love your documentaries, like, so I've seen many of them. I
Definitely.
should follow you more because, yeah, it sounds like you got a really great eye for that art. And Lex or Kate, I'm really looking forward to seeing what art you end up locking into, and what you create to give to the world would be very interesting.
Oh, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks guys for joining us, sharing about the documentary. Everybody go take a look at it. Right when this episode finishes, it's Against the Current. And thanks again. Take care.
Thank you.
You bet.
Yay.
That is Kate and Lexi talking about the amazing documentary that's out there. And Against the Current is it is not a long documentary because it doesn't have to be. It really gets right to the point of this journey that, hey, I want to be on this crew team. That's kind of part of it. And then they bring in some of the administration of the school, talks about the coaches, the parents of Kate, and they talk about it and kind of get into it. And the journey, as you can imagine, isn't easy, because you are going against that current of like normal, so to speak, and those that are only listening doing the air quotes of that word I really don't like to use. Because all we want is to kind of have our place with like what we like to do or try something and then decide, well, maybe I don't like doing that, or at least I gave that the effort I could to experiment with that or see if that fits in my life, or do I like that action, or do I like that activity, or do I like that community, or whatever. And people that have FSHD or anything else that they struggle with, disability wise, it's like inclusivity is such like this like coin kind of word being used right now, but it's really what it is give us a shot and see what we can do. What I loved this past winter, those that paid attention, not just the Olympics, but like the Paralympics, like watching the hockey team for the US win was amazing. Seeing those athletes move on those, I don't know, I believe they call them like sled type, skate devices for hockey. I love hockey. And to seeing it at that version, at that speed, at that awesome style was amazing to watch. And having it that highly competitive to face other teams throughout the world, along with all the other sports that are in there. We've had, mountain climbers on here that have talked about those sports, or past guests that have gone through, obstacle course type races and things like that. Like breaking through barriers, or what people think are barriers, or we should have barriers because we have a muscle disease that inhibits our movement or our strength or our capabilities. And that's all true, but we can still do something. And George Pollock has said in the past, who's a cyclist, as we all know, with the cycling crew for FSHT, like just move, right? Just get moving. And some of those movements for some of us are really extreme and others are not. And for Kate, like she got in the boat. Okay, maybe her movements for her body aren't there, but her mind is sharp. She is leading a team. She was very humble to kind of say, like, I was kind of yelling at him, really wasn't saying anything. No, she was leading. I mean, let's just be, I mean, you have to be. You can't have that person in that position, in that point of view in that sport without having some type of great guidance, coaching ability, motivational tools, things like that, and be proud of the role she played. And I think that she was a good teammate. So it was interesting, fantastic to see of all sports crew. Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about it for sure, but it was interesting to see and learn a little about the sport and learn a lot about Kate and her family and Lexi, kind of putting it all there for us to kind of witness and kind of be a part of through that documentary. So love it. You want to email me, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org is the email address. That's the best way to connect. You can follow me too if you want to, social media, blah, blah, blah. Tim Hollenbach, find me. I'm usually that Facebook guy. Yeah, I'm that old. Don't really post a ton, but you can always reach out to me there. Love that. Love the connection with the community. That's what I like about this podcast so much, is the connection with the community. And I'm glad we could connect today with Lexi and Kate, having them on. So, share your story. Maybe it is a sport that you're involved with, or maybe you're into art as well, or other documentaries you'd like to share with us that you maybe created, or maybe there's something we need to know or a topic we need to cover. FSHD radio at fshdsociety.org is the best way to reach me. Please do so. But I think your takeaway today should be, go for it. Try something, do something, get moving, be a part of a team, if it's a crew team or something else. And explore, and like how Kate kind of put it about her art, like, I just kind of want to see what's fun. And there's nothing wrong with just having fun and keeping it simple. So I appreciate the guests that came on today. Appreciate you all, you listening and watching this podcast. So until next time, take care. You've been listening and watching the FSHD Straight Talk podcast. Take care.